because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members of service to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members of service to righteousness unto holiness, signifying the word bondage. And I know the world always thinks of a slave as being back in the slavery days and all kind of things, but there were some good slaves, and I don't have time to go into all that either, but when you look at this, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh is what Paul is telling the Roman church. We have a weakness in the flesh.
Right.
You can tell that by the work that was put into this lectureship. You can tell by the weakness in the flesh of other people. We announced this. I started announcing this in our congregation when we first started talking about it. But you can tell by the audience, and that's not just here, but throughout. I've been throughout the country, and everywhere I go, it's the same. People are talking about the same thing. We're losing members because of the fact, and I just, there's a sermon I'm working on, and I tell you why they leave church. It's because they don't know God.
See?
And I'm working on that sermon right now, and I'll be through with it. I'm a teacher. Wherever I go, I try to preach sermons that pertain to weakness in the flesh. Well, preacher, what is weakness in the flesh? Doing what I want to do.
That's it.
Now, tell the folks at home, I call it eye disease. I gotta have. I'm not worried about getting to heaven. I know I'm gonna get there if I go to church. No. You're not gonna get there by just going to worship service. But what I'm saying is this. So, you present your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness. Neuter plural, agreeing with that word neuter plural, mean agreeing with melee in the Greek, simply means members. In this text, it's used as a noun, is the most common and general word for servant, frequently indicating subjection without the idea of bondage. So servant, without the idea of being locked up in chains and things, and so forth. And it's it is used of natural conditions, Matthew 8, chapter, verse 9. For I also, a man under authority, you know the lesson there where the Roman soldier had people under him. He said, I say go, you go. I say come, you come. I say eat, you eat. I say you don't eat, you don't eat. In that text, you can look at that on your own. Go and he goes, and to another come, he comes, and to my servant, do this, he does, and so forth. Now, metaphorically, of spiritual, moral, and ethical conditions, servants, Acts the 16th chapter, verse 7, you can read this. Like I said, I was going to do this as a question and answer and have everybody read. I might do that if someone has Acts the 16th chapter. I mean, 16th chapter, verse 17. Go ahead and read that. So I'm trying to keep everybody awake.
That's all right.
So if you read, if you can read with me, then you'll stay awake. All right, Acts the 16th chapter, verse 17. All right, go ahead and read that.
It says, the same followed Paul for us. Well, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Okay. And this did that she many days, but Paul being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
Okay. Paul and Silas were in prison at this point. And what happened is they, as it came to pass, they went to prayer, and a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us and brought her master as much gain as soothsaying. Remember the lesson there, how they had, they were mad because they bought and sold things for the goddess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is they were, they got mad, so they put them in prison. So then this damsel in distress, I call her, she followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And then she did this many days. Now this example of trying to explain many days is what we should be doing. I'm just taking this out of context. She followed him for many days, learning the way of salvation. If we were doing what she did, and going out doing what we're supposed to do every day, instead of saying, I got to get to the mall today, and I got to do this today, I. If we start doing, I got to go do my father's business.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If we were to do this, you see a dynamic growth in the church. Now, I'm preaching a sermon tomorrow about how these schools and things have told these kids to go out and do the best you can, but we're going to take, you know, if you can't pass this Bible course, then you can't be a Christian. I'm going to do this tomorrow. But anyway, what I'm saying, if we were to take on the task and do what Jesus said, do, go ye therefore, preach, teach, and baptize, you see a major growth in the church.
Right.
Now, I realize that society has branded folks. You look at the TV or anywhere you go. You look at the billboards. And what happens is they got Wabba
Grill.
They got, you know, you're passing by and you see a Golden Corral, and you go down and you see Taco Bell signs, and you drive along and you're hungry. And see, this is what happens. Man, I'm hungry. I pass all these different signs. I got to stop and eat. And then we go in and we eat, and we don't even thank God for it, that he got us there safely in the first place. So you see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with this? So what happens, we're all in flux with this society situation we're in. I'm going to give you the example, then I'll go ahead. The reason, I'm telling you the reason why not to drink. You drive down the highway, and this is free right through here. You drive down the highway, you see this big old billboard, and you're driving through Texas. It's 120 degrees on the highway, and you pass by this billboard, and there's this big glass of, big bottle of beer up there, and the glass of beer sitting there with, you know, the water sweating down on it. And you see this pencil leg lady advertising it. and I would say, wow, that sure looks good. But see, nothing wrong with the billboard itself. But see, you never see the other side of the billboard.
Yeah.
See, you don't see the broken homes and the battered kids. Mm-hmm. As good as it looks, so, you know, it's really the way it looks is really enticing.
Yeah.
But then you don't know what's on the other side of that drink that you drink. Mm-hmm. So the broken homes, the lost homes, the dope addicts. Then I say this every time when people want to talk about drinking. Oh, it's okay to drink a little wine. Well, you do what you want to do. Now you sit there at your dinner table with a glass of wine, and Jesus comes to sit in, and especially you got a bottle of Ripple sitting up in there, and then you young folk would know about all that. Sham Pipple, Red Fox called it. All right, back to my lesson. Okay, these men are the most the Most High God, who proclaimed us the way of salvation. We should be proclaiming the way of salvation whoever we come in contact with. Lady two doors down, she was in the house down there, and the other day she came and she said, I understand you're a preacher. I say, yes. And I gave her my card and stuff. Because most people on my street know that I'm a minister. And some people come to me with problems, some weddings and funerals and so forth. And that's okay. Whenever they do come, I'm able to help them out. And that's very simple. Because when they know you're a preacher, it's kind of like, well, don't go to his house. He's a preacher. He'll tell you don't smoke weed or drink or anything. And then the other folks come to my house, I think they put a black cross on my house. Because when I'm out in the yard or in the garage, they'll park across the street and they'll walk down the street and they come up so far and then they go back and come back the other way.
Yeah.
Now, there used to be a new group that came, but they must have got the message. Don't stop by that guy's house. So I guess the cross is still hanging on there. There's a preacher here. So they go by the other side. Anyway, let me hurry through this. Okay, so then I'm going to give you examples of a servant. Who is a servant, since that was my topic? A servant is one who renders any kind of service to minister, serve God, and the impossibility of serving mammon. When you serve God, it's impossible to serve man.
Yeah.
Now, this is where the rubber hits the road. If you're serving God 24/7, it's impossible to serve man. Now, don't get me wrong. We have jobs, we go different places, and you're expecting certain things. And what happens is, man will let you down every time.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Your best friend, you get in trouble, I guarantee you ain't going to see him no more. Guaranteed. Cost me some time back some years ago, messing around with the wrong folks. Well, that was before I got married, before I obeyed the gospel. Anything happened back then. But now, when I found God, it was altogether different. See, you know, when you're in the street, it's altogether a different game. But mess up one time, and people remember that forever.
Forever.
It's amazing how God said forgive and forget, and how we won't forgive and forget. And when we realize this, that it comes to an understanding, push. You know, we pull on this side. What's going on, Ray?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, you can walk down here? I went out there to get to my phone, and I didn't get no message. So I said, yeah, they probably got lost.
It was a driver.
No, I know. All right, come on in, man.
Thank you, really
glad you made it.
I
thought you might have.
No.
Oh, okay.
You know, I put every effort before I do.
No, that. I know. I just mess up. You know me.
I know you are.
Yeah, okay. Okay, back to where I was. When we're serving God, we have the impossibility to serve man. As I was saying, your best friend, you get in trouble with your best friend, and they will leave you. Because that's what they do. I had a cousin, thank God, she's been clean for the past 5 or 6 years. Went down to Stater Brothers and was stealing some liquor. Got caught, and the man had her in the office, and they called me. It's always, call Marshall. Don't call me with your stuff. Anyway, the store manager said, do you know so-and-so and so-and-so? I said, yeah, I know her. Well, so-and-so, she got here, so forth and so on. Well, her cut buddy was in the car waiting, drove off.
Oh, wow.
And left her. That's what your best friends will do. Don't get in some kind of trouble. Now, if you're in trouble with God, that's okay. If they leave you at the altar, that's okay.
But
see, you with God now.
Yeah, right.
But when you're doing some devilment, don't expect your friend to hang out and wait for you to get the situation done. So anyway, she did some time behind that. Went to prison and so on. Anyway, she did some time. She got out. Now she's been clean for the past 5 or 6 years. Matter of fact, she's doing very well. So what happens is, man will deceive you. Man will let you down every time. So what do we have to do? We have to build up this. See, what did lady say the other night, Ray? A veil. God, Jesus puts a veil in front of us.
The veil, when you have the veil on your face,
yeah,
it's the law of Moses. If you're living in that law, then you're not under Christ.
Yeah.
If the veil removed, then you see the light.
But she was saying how Jesus put this veil in front of me. I said, no, he didn't.
That's right.
No, you put the veil in front of your own self.
That's right.
But anyway, what I'm saying is that you have this veil. So you have to put up this building block against Satan. Barry, what do you want to call it? Against Satan. Now, how do you do that? It all comes down by the big S word. You know what the big S word is? Okay, that's one word. That's one word.
Spirit.
Another one? Study.
Okay.
Study.
Right.
See?
Okay, you
when you study, you begin to learn how Satan works.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. He's very faithful. He knows your very weakness.
Yeah.
You can go along and everything's going good. And you got a cup of tea and a bag of chips. And all of a sudden, when I got it made, now I got 3 cents in my pocket. Everything's going good, and then all of a sudden, somebody cuts you off on the highway,
oh, wow,
and then all them four-letter words start coming out the closet. Your fingers get to the point where you want to, you know, give the salute. Your fingers start opening up. So that's when you say, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
See, now when you say, what would Jesus do, right away, it's, oh, let me better let the man go on.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna get in it. Cause you see all this road rage junk going on now.
Right.
People killing people. There was a man that I worked on in Burbank, and he bought this brand new SUV. This was back in, well, before I retired. And he drove to the light, and there was a guy who had a gun and said, get out of your car, I'm taking your car. But see, he didn't know the guy had a gun in the car, and the guy shot him right in the middle of the street and drove off, wow, left him dead. I say, see, that's the lesson.
Okay.
He lost his life trying to take somebody's car that they just bought, and didn't know the man was strapped. Now, I'm not saying he did the right thing, but then again, sometimes you just don't know.
Right.
Nevertheless, he wasn't a Christian because he was carrying a gun in the first place. The only gun we should be carrying is this gun right here. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't protect yourself. But, yeah, you don't want to be foolish either. So you just kind of, sometimes you just have to, I talked about a little while ago, assess yourself. What will I do in a situation like this? I said, okay. All right, let me move on here. So, servant, we render any kind of service to serve God. We stop serving man. Now, let me give you some examples, and this is, and this, and then I'll be just about finished, maybe. I get about three, don't I?
Yeah.
Three conclusions. All right, let me give you an example. Example of something physically. A waiter or a waitress in a restaurant.
Right.
Okay? That's a physical servant. Because they're serving you what you ask for. And they'll bring it. And then you got Molly Maid. I put that in there. This is on your sheet.
Yes.
Molly Maid is someone to come and clean your house or your hotel.
Yes.
You go to a hotel, and usually when you first get there, they'll say, they'll have a sign up there. So-and-so is your maid, and so forth and so on. And this is, if you have any questions, call this maid, and so forth and so on. So they come in, and my wife gets mad at me all the time because I make up my bed in the hotel. It's just a habit. I like neat stuff. She does too, but she leaves her bed. But anyway, don't tell her I said that. But I'll make up my bed, and I'm trying to make it look, it won't never look just like they had a little roll in the top with the pillows and stuff. It never will look like that, but it's almost like that. And now she lines up all her stuff real nice and neat. And so we get up and we take off to the lecture, where we're going. But what I'm saying is that the maid comes in, serves you. You can leave a tip if you want. Or you can tell, you know, so forth and so on. And then they have this free, you know, now they have the coffee and all the stuff. And we don't drink coffee or nothing. And then we always ask, are these condiments free or not? Well, you had to pay $2 for the coffee. You have a price for it. Now, they will leave a bottle of water. And I'll leave it there. Because we call downstairs and the lady says, well, yeah, the water's free. Okay. Well, it should be free because the hotel room costs so much.
Okay.
But I don't bother it anyway because they might have a hidden agenda on that bottle of water.
Yeah.
And you go down to check out and it's extra $3 or $4 for what?
For
a bottle of water. What do you mean $4 for a bottle of water? But I never bother anyway. So anyway, what I'm saying is this. So you have these. Now, these are physical servants. And then you have the public servants. You have the police officers. Supposed to protect and to serve. But lately, it's protect and serve yourself. Let me drop this while I'm there. If the police stop you, just go along with the program. And then sometime after, there was a friend of mine. He says, police stopped him one time. You know how they tell you stay in the car? Well, he jumped out the car, fell down on the ground, face flat. He's not taking no chances. Don't shoot. He said, no, policeman, I was just going to tell you that your license thing is expired. Oh. You need to get the license plate. Said, I don't know, y'all. Shoot, folks. I'm going to get out and do this. Don't even ask me to lay on the ground. But it was funny. I said, we always had a lot of fun together back in the day. He said, no, I put my hands out the windows. They say put the steering wheel. No, I'm putting mine out the window. Because the steering wheel, they'll just start shooting anyway.
Oh, wow.
So there's all kind of. That's just a word of advice that you get stopped by the police. Just agree, mm-hmm. Yes, sir, officer. Yeah. I was coming from Atlanta one day back to Nashville in the car, and I was half sick, and I was kind of speeding.
Kind of speeding.
I was trying to get back to Nashville so I could catch the plane the next morning. I had to get, because I was sick. So down in Tennessee, they have these, it's like the white police cars they have now. Well, I thought they were like Caltrans workers, because one was, then they were in the middle of the freeway. So I looked and I said, oh, I bet that's a cop. I slowed down, but everybody else, we know, is flying. So then I had a Minnesota license plate on the car because I had to rent a car.
Okay.
So down the road, here he comes. I said, oh, man. So he stopped. Where are you going? I said, back to Nashville. He says, okay, well, officer, I was probably going over the speed limit. I was kind of sick. I'm trying to get back. I had some medication on the front seat and all my rental papers and stuff. So he started a young man, too, and I said, oh, he's a young cop. He's trying to make it. He's trying to put a notch in his belt already.
Right.
So he pulls up and he says, "You're going kind of past me." I said, "Okay, well, you know, officer, I'm sick." And so when they say, "Hey, you sound kind of funny," and yeah, you know, he goes to the question. We started talking about Colorado and talking about my sister in Colorado. He said, "Well, I'm not giving you a ticket because you took my license. You got a clean record, so I'm not going to say anything. But just kind of slow it down." So I said, "Okay." Now, some cops are nice.
Yeah.
You work with them, and the ones that ain't nice,
you still work
with them. Amen. Okay, let me move on. So then you have the police officer. Then you have all these politicians, governors, senators, supposed to be serving us. Vote for me, I'll serve you this. I'll make sure you get this and that and the other. And then all they want to do is serve themselves,
right,
for the most part. Yeah. Corruption in politics, they're not serving anymore. They're trying to get what they can and get out. Yeah. And if you notice the past year or so, all these top officials resigning, yeah, getting fired, because they won't go along with the dictator, and now he's mad, and you know, the country don't know what to do. Now all the ones that voted for him is turning against him, well, because he was a bully and he was going to take over and he's going to do the same. Well, anyway, so supposed to be serving us, okay? Then you have the street cleaner, comes by. You have the garbage collectors. You don't have to take your own garbage to the pit. They'll come and get it. You have the counselors and teachers, the ones who serve the public, ministers and so forth and so on and so forth. Now, spiritually, we become servants or slaves to Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean, preacher? It simply means obedience to the gospel by being baptized into Christ, Romans 6, chapter verse 3 and 4. So we're baptized into Christ, then we become servants or slaves. We promised Christ that we would follow him when we came from the water of baptism. Lord, I'm going to do everything you want me to do, yada, yada, yada. But now look at the church. Now, what has happened, Paul told Timothy in latter times, grievous wolves going to come in, dressed in sheep's clothing. And then you got a clique here in the church. You got a clique here. You got two cliques that's fighting against each other. And the young kids are watching all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kids look at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, what I going to do? All you going to do is fight. Heard it just the other day from a young man. Why should I go down there? They bully me. Because we had the thing on workshop on bullying. Well, the young man, he don't hardly come anymore. Young, he's only about 13, maybe 14.
Wow.
Grew up with those kids. Said, I'm not going to go down because all they do is bully me. Some of the parents, well, I'm not going because so-and-so said something bad about me. So what do? God already said what's going to happen. Now, what do? It's up to us to walk worthy of the calling. I think Stan preached on that in Lucerne. Y'all should have been there. It wasn't there. We have to walk worthy of it. Now, what does that mean? That means I'm going to walk upright.
Right.
I obey the gospel. And I told the church not too long ago, I say, God honors us who honored his son.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
When we honor Christ, God honors us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
People just don't get it. They don't understand the value we have in Christ Jesus, I believe. They're not convicted of what they said they're going to do. When we it's just like the oath we took when we went to the military. We're going to fight for the country. We're going to defend the country, yada, yada, yada. The same thing when we obey the gospel. I'm going out. That's why I said put on the whole armor of God. I'm going out into warfare. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
So what has happened? People get disgruntled. You can't, like myself. Well, I'm probably more on fire now than I was when I got baptized. When I was on fire when I was baptized, you're not in the Church of Christ, you're going to hell, you're not in the Church of Christ, you're going to hell. Then brother said, Stuart, hold on. You can't just tell folk they're going to hell if they're not in the Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to learn. So I began to study. In our text, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God for which will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. And then the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm a Baptist, well, how did you become a Baptist? Well, my uncle was a Baptist preacher, so was it. Well, that's interesting. Is that in the Bible? How did you do that? Can you show me? Would you be able to sit down and show me in your Bible how you became this?
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a way to approach it.
That's right.
And now I'm learning more. You have to understand where people are.
Yeah.
If they say they're Baptist, oh really? That's interesting. How did you do that? Oh, you know, who told you that? And then if they let you in the house to sit down with them, now I guarantee, If you say it the way God wants it said, there'll be something they will remember, and they'll want you to come again. And then the first thing they're going to say, well, let me check with my pastor. Well, if you go to their pastor, then it's done. Now, then I've been asked, can my pastor come and sit in the class? Yes, he can. Matter of fact, bring the whole church down here. You know, I'm going to teach whatever God says. So what I'm saying is that to be a servant of God, we have to obey the God. And obedience means complete obedience. So whatever we do, we have to be completely obedient to God. Now, I know things are going to come up. It's going to happen. This happens in all the churches. So then finally, in my conclusion, 1 Corinthians 7:20 through 24, when you think of all that Christ has done for you, you want to do your best for him.
Amen.
Amen. So then that will conclude my part of the service. Appreciate you listening attentively. And let's see, do I have anything else? No, I'll just...